Welcome back. This is the world's last podcast. I hope you're well. I hope you're in a safe place. I spent some time in the safest place there is last week. If you remember, I told you last time that the authority had been looking for me. I remember a job interview I had when I was young. It was for an education company. They prepared students to take standardized tests. Standardized tests were a way of making sure that people who went into certain fields thought more or less the same way. Maybe that's not fair. Maybe standardized tests weren't fair. Anyway, the guy who interviewed me was a weird control freak. I've often wondered why the people who control things are control freaks. Well, instead of just talking to me and asking me questions to get a sense of what I was like, he had this list of scenarios he wanted to ask me about. One was, if you had a choice, and this would be a weird choice, would you prefer to get into a pool of cold water all at once or slowly? I said I'd rather get in all at once and get the shock over with. He asked me to elaborate on that. I said that was just my disposition. If I had to do something unpleasant, I'd rather get it over with. He said, what about the arguments against that? I said there weren't any arguments against dispositions. He said he had designed the interview questions personally. I made a face and shrugged. He asked if he should move on to the next scenario. I said he shouldn't bother, and I left. I got it over with. I like to get things over with. So I went over to the authority's headquarters to ask them what was up. Once I explained to the guards who I was, several times, they let me inside to wait. I was in a conference room. I haven't been in one of those for a while. It was completely blank. I mean, there was nothing on the walls. After I sat in there for a while, I was taken to an office. That's where I met with Xian. That's Xian, X-I-A-N. He wasn't Chinese. That's how he spelled it, though. That's weird, but the main thing about him is that his office was covered with teddy bears. I mean, there were teddy bears on every flat surface. Teddy bears on top of the bookcase. Teddy bears in the bookcase where books would go. Teddy bears on the couch. Small teddy bears on top of a filing cabinet, and tiny teddy bears on top of his desk. All I could think throughout our whole meeting was, whatever you do, don't ask him about the teddy bears. Still, that's all that was on my mind. Aside from the stuffed bears, it was like being in an office in the old days. Sean was wearing a suit. He was bright and cheerful. He smiled constantly. He seemed like someone who would have done Sigma 6 seminars. I was trying not to talk about the teddy bears, but luckily I didn't have to say much. As soon as I sat down, Sean told me how everyone at the authority loves the podcast. They love it. That's not me being enthusiastic. That's me trying to imitate Sean's enthusiasm. They love the show down there. Here's how he put it. We love what it says that you feel free to do the show you want. They like the way I do their announcements, too. They think I make them seem fun and not just mandatory. They encourage playful criticism, too. Like, do you remember the old satirical newspaper, The Authoritarian? Sean seemed genuinely sad about what happened to the publisher and his printing press. He said he'd have thought a similar newspaper would take its place, but then we all know how limited the paper supply is now. The authority loves the show, but there was something they thought Well, they thought some things about it could be confusing or disturbing. For instance, adding in that message from my neighbor. They thought it was off-putting. These are dangerous times, and who knows what might be in a coded message, he said. I said, Spanish isn't a secret code. Sean said he wasn't racist and that his own grandfather had been Portuguese. I didn't know what that had to do with anything. He went on that I shouldn't send out any messages unless I could be sure of what was in them. I should try to be more responsible in the future. I said that I thought the whole point of doing a podcast was to be irresponsible. I'm not even sure what I'm saying half the time. Anyway, Sean offered to help, and I accepted that offer. So here's the deal. From now on, the authority will be reviewing all of my tapes before they go out. They'll remove any potentially disturbing content before it reaches the public. It means wider distribution. The authority will make all the copies for me and distribute them on their food wagons. No more waiting for Ramblin' Dan to ramble into your neighborhood. I think it's a fair deal. So, this is a disclaimer. If there are any gaps in the recording, then that content has been redacted. That's kind of exciting. I feel like Nixon. Nixon was a U.S. president who recorded himself and his friends saying whatever came to mind. The tapes became really popular all over the world. I remember laughing out loud to one he recorded where he reviewed a popular TV show. He did not like it. No one could rant like Nixon. I consider him to be the world's first podcaster. This is the world's last podcast. Now, the new distribution deal isn't the only good news that came out of my meeting with the authority. Sean had a good laugh about how all I eat are beans. Apparently, the authority has been busy developing new food products. Sean gave me a box of samples and said they'd be happy if I tried some of them on the show. Have reservations about this. I don't enjoy audio of people eating. It also might be offensive to people who haven't eaten in a while. So this is a warning to people who are starving or who hate the sound of wet mastication. This segment is called the taste test. Now, these products are wrapped in wax paper. I think that might explain some part of the paper shortage. I'm not sure when these were created or when they'll expire, if ever. Okay, this one is labeled jerky. Looks like jerky. That is dried, flattened animal flesh. Jerky was very similar to leather, except you were supposed to eat it instead of wearing it. Although I haven't tasted meat in years, I'm not looking forward to tasting this. Okay. I don't like to swear, but I don't feel like there's an alternative here. This tastes like there's no other way to describe it, and my description is accurate. I've had to hide in places where I was up to my nose in it. When I say this tastes like know that I know what I'm talking about. Okay, let's try to clear that out with something else here. These are called chip chips. They look like potato chips. Let's try. These are not bad, I think. They're crunchy. They don't remind me of potato chips, though. I don't know if that means they aren't like potato chips, or if I don't remember what potato chips were like. That's sad. I feel really bad. I ate a lot of potato chips before, but it's like I have no memory of them. Then again, eating lots of potato chips always made me feel bad. Sort of full and empty at the same time. Well, I can't keep doing this. Food used to be so good. I used to eat plums all summer long, every summer. I'll save the rest of these for future shows, but you can make your own taste tests. These food products should start turning up on food wagons in the next few weeks. Let me know if they remind you of food, if you remember what food was like. Okay, this week I have a letter. It's from a listener who needs some advice. It's relationship advice. Keep in mind that I know very little about relationships. I didn't know much before the calamities, and I have no idea what they're like now. Most of my advice before was to just wait things out. Wait and see, and maybe they'll get better. Or, if you've made up your mind to do something, do it. Even if it doesn't work out, it'll be a choice you made, and you'll eventually have to justify it to yourself. But I'm fascinated by how much things have changed in this area. This letter is from Kat. I'll assume that's short for Catherine. Catherine writes, sorry, there's still some chip. It's not a taste, it's like a weird texture. Okay. Catherine writes, my life partner, Jesse, and I have been together for about 8 years. We came through the calamities together, and she always had my back through the aftermaths. I know how you feel about violence, but I'm proud to say we fought our way out of some tough situations, back to back, the reverberations from our shotguns vibrating through our spines. That's kind of racy. We buried our families together, and in a way, she was my George. She always tried whatever food we found to make sure it was safe. What I'm saying is, she's my hero, and there's no way I'd ever leave her, whether we're in love or out of it. I wish the letter ended there, but it doesn't. She goes on, Jesse was never what you'd call a stoic. If she had something on her mind, she'd say it. If she was cold, you heard about it. If she was hot, likewise. She said what she thought about the militias. She says what she thinks about the authority. I like it. It reminds me of the old days. I know you were probably always go along to get along. Now, that's not true. When I was in my 20s, I know I went to a protest. It was against one of the wars. I couldn't stay that long because I can't really listen to people saying things I already know. Anyway, back to Catherine. I know you were probably always go along to get along. I'm not even sure that's the phrase. Isn't it get along to... Well, never mind. But I like people who share their opinions about the way things are. And that's how Jesse is. Or was. The thing is, lately she's been saying things about the Whisperers. When she's hungry, she'll say, if we just gave in, we'd eat all the time. She'll say we'd never have to worry about death. We'd have no anxiety. First, I would just laugh this off as Jesse being Jesse, but she started doing it more and more. She'll even do it at night. I can already hear their projections at night. I don't need her giving me their propaganda in my ear. I don't think she's gone over. She doesn't have the usual euphoria. But on the other hand, it could be one of their tricks. That's when it starts to get to me. I start to doubt if she's still really herself, or if she's only play-acting. This kind of paranoia does not make for a good relationship. What I want to know is, have you ever felt like someone you knew might be changing over, How did you deal with it? Should I confront her about it or not? I'd appreciate any advice. Well, Cat. Catherine. It's probably a pseudonym anyway. No, I was never close to anyone who I thought was changing over. My problem was always worrying about myself. The same way you get paranoid about whether your partner is still herself, I get paranoid about whether I'm still myself. Should you confront her about it? Well, what's she going to say? Yes? No? If you're talking to the group mind, it'll say whatever you want to hear. There are no real ways to test someone else. Just have to watch what they do. What should you do? Really love her? I'd say wait it out. If she tries to get you to go into one of the parks, then don't go. Then you'll know. Yeah, if she starts going off in that direction, that's another good sign. I don't know why, but all of them have to go into the park eventually. That's where they make the final conversion. So, my advice is wait and see. I hope it works out for you, for both of you. Relationship troubles aren't what they used to be. If you have advice for Kat, or if you want some advice yourself, you can still give letters for me, leave letters for me in my box at the exchange, or you can still give them to Ramblin' Dan. Guess I can still have him do that for me. By the way, I'm still looking for a Spanish-English dictionary or a Spanish-English person who can help me translate my neighbor's message. I would play it again if I were allowed. I still say he's not dangerous. He left me more lentils, which I also buried, and the Spanish lessons continue. I'm not retaining any of it. Thought of trying to teach him English. That seems like it would be harder. English has way more words than any other language, and it's impossible to pronounce. I'm not even sure about half the words I use. Couldn't imagine trying to teach them to someone else. I guess we'll see how it goes. I'll see you next time. This is the world's last podcast.